But anyway, all right. Daniel chapter number 7. We're not going to read a lot of the chapter. You need to probably do some reading of it yourself and studying on it yourself as Daniel is interpreting a dream and giving forth a dream. And I tell you, it's got a lot of prophecy in it. In fact, the whole thing deals with prophecy. And it's lining up. He gives the dream there, or the vision. God gave him a vision, and he saw the lion, the bear, the leper, and then a fourth beast. And that lion, of course, represents Babylon, according to the word of God. And then the bear represents the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the leper represents the Grecian Empire. But then that fourth one represents Rome. And out of Rome, and by the way, that fourth kingdom, that fourth one, is the one that's going to take over. And we all know there's going to be a one world government system. There's a one world economic system and a one world religious system. And all of it is going to head up in Rome. Are you listening? And Revelations deals with that. And it talks about the 10 horns coming out of that kingdom. And then out of that, the 10 representing 10 kingdoms, or 10, 10 empires, so to speak. And then there's going to be a little horn that's going to stick his head up among the 10 horns. And that little horn is going to be the Antichrist. That's absolutely going to take over. And of course, you can read about that here and also in Revelations, but I want to read one verse. This caught my attention. Verse 25. And this is after the little horn steps into power and is taking over. But he runs into a problem. He runs into somebody greater than he is. And the Bible calls him in Daniel 7 two different times the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. And we know who that is. But I want us to look at verse 25, and this is breaking in on that dominion, that dominating power of that little horn that eventually becomes the big horn, that the Antichrist is going to take over. He's going to be the one world ruler. You say, I don't believe all that. Well, that's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. You got to believe the Bible. Bible's for believers. But here's how he's going to do it. Here's some of the things said that he's going to do during that particular time. The Bible says in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's the statement that caught my attention initially. And he shall wear out the saints. I know that's all future tense yet, but I believe he's in motion now. I believe it's already in motion now. Are there any saints in here that he's wearing you out already? The devil's wearing you out already. You said, no, not me. Well, some of you is lying if you said that, because your face is showing that you are wore out. Amen. He said he'd wear out the saints of the Most High. And then it said, and think to change times and laws, that they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. If you do the math on that, that's 42 months, 3.5 years. But I want us to look at that verse, and I want to try to draw some applications out of that verse for us here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the reading of your word. I pray you speak to us in this hour. Deal with sinners, deal with the saints of God. Be magnified and glorified, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to be looking at some other verses of Scripture as the Lord leads us to do so. But I note those three things in verse number 25. It's what I want to deal with this morning. The Lord has spoke to my heart about. I want to preach about the threefold goal of the enemy. Or of the devil, if you will. What is it that he wants to do? Now, I know I've already stated that what we've read is future tense. I know that this is tribulation talk. And by the way, I think we're in that time now Well, I don't think you'd have to do a much study of the Scripture to know that we're not in that particular time frame now. One, the devil's going to be bound during that time. He's going to be, or somebody says we're in the kingdom and the devil's going to be bound. Well, he's not bound. I told one not long ago, I said, well, if he's bound, he's bound around my head, around my neck, feels like, amen. But we're not. There's a difference between tribulations and the tribulation. There's a difference, amen. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the time that God turns His focus back again to Israel. You remember when Jesus came, the Bible said He came into His own received Him not. He devoted His attention. He came. He even told the disciples, go not to the lost sheep, go but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, that's who I'm sent to. Well, you know, Israel rejected Christ, and through their fall, salvation came to the Gentiles. And now we've been in that time of the Gentiles that for ever since that time. But God is not done with Israel yet. He's not cast them off. He's not thrown them in the ditch. Amen. He's going to turn His attention back to Israel again, and He's going to do that, and He's going to work in their hearts. He's going to prepare them to receive the King. Jesus is not done with them yet, because He's going to appear unto them in the revelation, and they're going to ask Him, where did you get those wounds? And He said, I in the house of my friends. And He's going to reveal Himself to Israel, as did Joseph to his brothers. The Bible said their eyes are going to be opened. A nation will be born in a day. They're going to receive Christ as their Messiah and King, and will set up the kingdom and set up and He'll rule upon the throne of His father David. Now those things have not been fulfilled yet, and they've got to be. The Davidic covenant has not been fulfilled yet. But that's a whole other line of thought. But I'm interested, though this is a future tense, we can still see the operations or the tactics of the devil, what he's going to do then. We can see that they're already they're already in motion now. He's using his tools now. These things that's mentioned in verse number 25 are not set on the shelf. He doesn't have those put on the shelf waiting for a future time. No, he's using them now. Amen. Why would he want to use different tools now and then different tools later, when the tools he's been using for 6,000 years has been very effective? I mean, you think about how powerful discouragement is. That's one of his most powerful tools. He's not going to lay that one down. He's going to hold it in his hand because it's very effective. But we can look at what he's got going on here in this verse and see that it's also being used in your life and mine and in our present day. Amen? And we're going to look at those things as the Lord will help us. Here Daniel is revealing to us some inside information as to what the devil's plan and plot is. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:11, you need to know this verse, most of you do. 1 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Are you listening? It states in that verse that Satan is out to get an advantage of us. He's out to get the upper hand, if you will. He's out to defraud us. He's out to be superior to us. He's out. The word advantage means to make gain. He's wanting to do that. But the Bible says this very important thing in that verse, but we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant. That is, we have the intellect and the information. You say, where's it at? Right here. Right here is the Bible that exposes the devil. Amen. Now, if you don't read the Bible, if you don't study the Bible, don't know the Bible, guess what? The devil can take advantage of you very easily. He can take advantage of you very easily. But if you know your Bible and know how he operates, because how he's operated in the past, he operates now and will yet operate that same way in the future. We're not ignorant. We're not in the dark about his devices. The word devices means his intentions. We know what his intentions are. We know what his evil purposes are. Also, the word devices means wiles. You remember Ephesians 6 talks about put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One country preacher was preaching on that one time and he got in a big way and he said you need to put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the willies of the devil. Amen. But here in this passage of Scripture, we have been given some inside information. We have been given the exposed plot and plan of the enemy to do certain things. Well, let's look at those three this morning. The first one is very clear. Well, actually, all three of them is very clear. Verse 25, the first one is, he is out to criticize the sovereign. He is out to criticize the sovereign. Look at verse 25, the first part. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now what, did you see that? Now we know that that's going to happen in the tribulation period. I understand that when the Antichrist, you know, makes a treaty with Israel and, you know, makes them all these promises and then he breaks that treaty getting close to the middle of the tribulation. He breaks that treaty. He sets himself up on the throne, declares himself to be God and demands to be worshiped as God, and God will never allow that to happen. Amen? God will not allow somebody else to take his place and get his praise. Amen. And that is what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. And literally all hell is going to break loose in judgment upon this world. Amen. And upon the Antichrist and his followers. But thank God I won't be here. Amen. But still yet, though that is in the future, Brother Carroll, he's doing that now. He attacks you and I, how? By criticizing our Lord. Criticizing, talking, the word there, speak against, means to speak at or to speak down about. To speak against the Most High. Now I got to thinking, why would the devil speak against, criticize the sovereign to me as a child of God? I ask myself that question. You know, if you'll ask yourself some questions, you're very subject to come up with an answer. Right. Amen. And so I ask myself the question, now why would that be a plot of the devil in the future and also now to attack my master, attack my Lord, to criticize him, to speak against him? And I come up with one answer. And that is, he wants to shake my confidence. He wants to speak against my Lord, the Most High, to shake my confidence. Now we know, according to the Word of God and Revelation, that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. He accuses us daily before the Lord, every day. Now, he's not a false accuser, Brother Jackie. What he's going to God with about you and me and us, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. He's not the false accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Thank God my case has already been settled. My case has already been tried. And I've already been justified. If not, I'd be in trouble. Amen. Thank God the blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. Thank God the blood of Jesus speaks in my behalf. I have been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus. I have been forgiven of all of my sin. Oh, that's enough to shout about. Amen. But still yet the devil accuses me to God. But I found out a long time ago the devil does something else. He doesn't just accuse me to God, but many times he accuses God to me. He'll slip up on your shoulder as if to say, well, now if God really loved you. You know, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have allowed this. He would have stopped that. He would have made other arrangements. He would have did this and that or something else. Amen. You know what he's doing? He's speaking against the Most High. You know what he's doing? He's trying to get you to be shaken in your confidence in the Lord. Amen. Come on now. Yes, sir, buddy. You said, no, preacher, that ain't possible. Well, you better read your Bible. You better read your Bible, amen, what the Bible says, amen. Why do you think the Bible says this in Hebrews 3 and verse 6? Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Why did that come out? Why was he saying that to Christians? Why was that being said to believers? Because the devil knows that he can criticize the master to you, he can criticize and speak against the Most High to you and shake your confidence in him. Amen. Hebrews 3 and verse 14, if it's not possible now, then why is this verse in there? For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What about Hebrews 10 and verse 35? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen? Why? If it's not possible, listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, there's a lot of people that are sitting in church this morning around this world that their faith and their confidence in the Lord has been shaken. Amen? And several things could play into that and cause that or bring that about. One is hypocrisy. How many people have lost their confidence in God, the things of God, and in church because they saw the hypocritical actions, amen, of somebody that goes to church? Amen? And that ought to cause, and that's the truth, amen? But that ought to motivate all of us to watch our step, watch our mouth, watch what we do, where we go, how we live, lest we be a stumbling block to sinners. Isn't that right? Amen. That's right. Listen to this verse of Scripture. You know this verse, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You say, what in the world are you bringing that verse out? Because that word substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know what one of the definitions of the word substance is? Confidence. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Faith is the actual existence, the grounds, and the confidence of things hoped for. Amen. Devil wants to shake your faith, and in so doing, he shakes your confidence. Amen. And if he can shake your confidence, then he'll shake your consistency. You won't be consistent. Amen. Amen. You won't be faithful. You won't be dependable if you lose your confidence. Amen. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you, there's been many times the devil has spoke against God in my ear. Hello? Anybody in here with me? Am I the only one? Anybody in here, the devil has spoke against God to you, trying to get you to doubt him, trying to get you defeated, trying to get you to where you do not trust him, trying to get you to shake in your confidence and become unstable in your confidence in the Lord. Amen. You know that's what he was doing with Job. The devil tried his best to get Job to turn against God. Tried his best to get Job. He even told Job, God is only, listen, you're only serving God for naught. You know? And boy, he accused Job to God and accused God to Job. But he uses that tactic. I cannot explain everything God does. And God don't owe me no explanation. And he don't owe you one neither. And it very possibly will be this way when we get to heaven, that none of us are going to be asking God, why this and why'd you do that and why didn't you not stop this? Amen. I know we've all said that at times. I'd like to ask God, why did this and that and the other? No, when we get over there, Brother Gene, it won't matter. Yeah. when we see our new house, most of all when we see our new Lord, well, not our new Lord, but we get a new look at our new Lord. Amen. Right now, I'm looking through a glass darkly. Right now, I'm just getting glimpses through the lattice. But oh, thank God, one of these days, sight's going to give, faith is going to give way to sight. And I'm going to see Him, thank God. Yeah, hallelujah. You say, is that Bible? Sure it is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. Oh yeah, thank God. You wait. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a time. I'm having a time now. In fact, it's hard for me to stay low in a low gear. Amen. Amen. In fact, my heart's feeling pretty good right now. Amen. It wasn't feeling too good a while ago, but it's feeling pretty good right now. Amen. Preaching's a good stress release. Amen. 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 I got these girls up here ready anyway. They said, preach, if you pass out, I said, just catch me. So they ready and I'm ready. So hey, praise God. Amen. Oh, amen. That's right. He don't owe me no explanation, but when I get over there, it won't matter all the whys and the what fors and all of that. I just know that He did right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Some of you, my friend, are wondering about why is God allowing something in your life, or why God didn't prevent this, or why did God not answer that or do that? Hey, I'm glad God has not answered all of my prayers. I've prayed some stupid, foolish prayers before, but at the moment, I didn't know they was foolish. I'm glad God didn't answer all of mine. Amen? Amen. I'm glad He answered those that needs to be. Well, amen. The devil will criticize the sovereign. That's the way he works. To try to get you out of whack. Try to get you messed up. Amen? Guarantee there's some folk in this building today. Right here, yes. RBT, Sunday morning. And you hadn't read your Bible in weeks. What do you think's behind that? You don't have any confidence in it. You don't read it because you don't have any confidence in it. You don't pray because you don't have any confidence in it. 1 John 5, what is it? 1 John 5 and verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. You know why you don't pray? One thing only. You don't have confidence in it. I'm talking about if you're saved. If you're lost, the reason you don't pray is because there's no need to. The only prayer God's going to hear from you is the prayer for salvation. Amen. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord. I want to get saved. God will hear those prayers. Amen. Oh, yes. But not only was, listen, the first plot and first plan, the threefold plan of the devil, of the enemy, to work in your life. One, to criticize the sovereign. Number two, I got to hasten on, not only to criticize the sovereign, but number two, to consume the saints. The Bible said in verse number 25 that not only will He speak against the Most High, but here's something else He's going to do. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Amen. He is going to wear out the saints. The word wear out means to wear away. Listen to this. See if anybody can line up with it. It means to harass constantly. I can tell by looking, some of you, He's been on you. Amen. Well, if you're saved, I promise you He's on your trail. Ask a lady one time down in South Carolina, just come back to my mind, I asked her one time, I said, how are you doing? Oh, she said, I'm doing fine. The devil's leaving me alone. I said, that's not a good sign. She said, why? That's not a good sign. I said, no. I said, because that indicates if he's leaving you alone, you're leaving him alone. Amen. But if you get in that, amen, you get to bothering him, he's going to bother you. And I just want him to know that I hate him. Amen. I hate the devil. Amen. Brother Craig's a president, and I think little Hannah's a vice president of the Hating the Devil Club. Amen. I believe that, was it her or Ben that said that? It was, that sounded like something she'd say. Amen. I'm talking about consume, wear out, harass constantly us. That's what the devil said he's going to do. And we know what that, how that's going to apply in the tribulation period, how he's going to come against the saints and all of that. But he's doing it now. Oh, the devil's doing it now. Vance Havner said that it's not in the sharp trials that we're in danger of fainting, but it is in those long trials that we're in danger of fainting. It's not that he harasses us every once in a while. But the Bible, the definition of that word there, wear out, means to harass constantly. Hey, man. Hey, as long as you're in this world, you are in the devil's domain. You listen to the preacher? You're in the devil's domain. He is called the prince and power of the air. He's also called the God, little G-O-D, the God of this world. Amen. Yeah, you, listen, you are in his domain here. God's people are pilgrims and strangers. We're just a passing through. This is not our home, no. No, sir, friend. Amen. And we need to start acting like pilgrims and strangers instead of friends and neighbors. Instead of acting like we're citizens that planned to stay here. If you know how most people live, amen, we're making more plans to stay than we are to leave. You can tell by most people what they do and don't do that they're making all their plans to stay here instead of leaving. Oh, I want to tell you, God's people, listen up. We are leaving. Yes, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's great news. That's wonderful news, Brother Rob. One, well, there's a lot of reasons why that's good news. I started to say there's one, but there's several comes to mind. One, thank God I get to see Jesus. Amen. Of course, there'll be the reunion of the saints of God. My mom and dad, Brother Jack's already over there. Amen. And grandparents are already over there. Got several others over there. Got probably more over there than got over here. Amen. And probably, if you do the calculation, I'm probably closer to the house than my starting line. I've already been in this way 31 years. Amen. Almost 31 and a half. And guess what? I don't know if I'll live 31 more. May, if Jesus don't come, I hope he lets me live. If he don't, that'll be fine too. I'm a winner either way. Amen. But the devil is working now to not only criticize the sovereign, the Most High, but also to consume the saints. He's wanting to war against you and wear you out. You know what's plaguing our churches? Weariness. You say, "Oh, preacher, we can't do that." Well, you need to read the Word of God. Why do you think Galatians 6:9 says, "Be not weary in well-doing"? Amen. Amen. Why do you think Luke 18:1 says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint"? Amen. Why do you think Hebrews 12:3 says, "Consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind"? Why? Because you can get weary. You can get weary in trying to press on. Press forward. Stay with the stuff. Stay faithful. Stay in church. Stay on your knees. Stay in the Word of God. Stay busy. Amen. Stay away from sin. Amen. You can become weary, and the devil wants to wear us out and to wear us down and to wear us away with constant harassment. I thought of an illustration in Luke 18, a Bible example of the devil's plot and plan of wearing out somebody. And there in Luke 18, there was the widow. I mean, you think about somebody taking advantage of a widow. That's pretty sorry. But the adversary was threatening, the adversary was harassing this widow. She couldn't handle it. She couldn't defend herself, but you know what she did? She went to someone that could. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm no match for the devil, and neither are you nor all of us put together. I'm going to tell you, when he gets to harassing us, you know what we better learn to do? Do like that widow in Luke 18 in the context of prayer. We better make a beeline to the one that can avenge us of our adversary. Amen. You know where weariness comes from anyway? Weariness comes from you trying to take care of your burdens and your battles with the energy of the flesh. Let me give you something to think about, Brother Tim. There's no weakness in the spirit. There's no weariness in the spirit, Brother Krutschko. None. You say, well, then why do we get weary? We're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to figure it out ourselves. We're trying to fix it ourselves. We're trying to fight it ourselves. We're trying to endure with the energy of the flesh. And therefore, weakness sets in. Amen. You can be doing good things in the energy of the flesh. I believe that's what's implied there in Galatians 6:9. About not being weary and well-doing. Weariness will come to you even in well-doing, doing what's right, doing good things, if you're doing it in the energy of the flesh. If you're doing it with your ingenuity, if you're doing it with your experience. But oh, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God reveals to us time and again that there is strength that comes to us through the Spirit of God. Amen. Paul prayed about that in the third chapter of Ephesians. He prayed that we'd be strengthened with might by thy Spirit in the inner man. Amen. No matter what God calls you to do and wants you to do in your life, I want to tell you, you can handle it, you can make it, you can do it. If you depend on the Holy Spirit and tap into His supply of power and of resources. Thank God that's right. That's why Jesus told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry there till they be what? Endued with power from on high. And they went to Jerusalem just like Jesus said and got in a 10-day prayer meeting. And guess what? God moved in mighty power. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, yes, it's dark, it's difficult, and the Lord only knows what we're going to be facing economically and nationally and morally, amen, and spiritually in the upcoming days and months in the very near future. I want to tell you what, in the flesh, we won't be able to stand it. We won't be able to make it. But if we'll stay spiritual, if we'll stay spirit-filled, amen, we can make it. I thought about the song Brother J.R. sings about up ahead of me. How's that go, Brother J.R.? Up ahead of me is another battle. And I'm afraid I'll go down in defeat. Amen. You know why? I can't handle those battles. I can't handle the battles in the flesh. Have I tried? Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. That's why I'm a 70-year-old in a 50-year-old body. Amen? Feels like sometimes. It's because I've tried to do these things in the energy of my flesh. And the flesh will always be weak, always be insufficient to do the work of God. Amen. That's why God put it all on the Holy Spirit. We'll tap into that. Allow the Spirit of God who indwells us to empower us. We can make it. Hallelujah. Consume the saints. Consume the saints is what the devil's desiring to do. This word wear out in our text verse is related to another word or corresponds with another word. If you do any studying in your Strong's Concordance, many times you'll note that in the definition it'll say that it comes from this word or corresponds with this word, another Hebrew word. Well, it states in that Strong's Concordance that our word wear out, that Hebrew word, corresponds to another word which means to fail. the devil's intention of conflict and consuming you and coming against you is to get you and I to fail. Amen. Amen. Also, that word not only means to fail, the primitive root of that word means to fail, but it means by implication to decay, to spend, waste, to become, to wax old, or to consume. Amen. Something that is wore down and used up. Something that is wore out. Something, listen now, I'm fixing to make an application that will fit. Something that is wore out. Something that is decayed. Something that is decayed has lost its freshness. Something that has gotten old has no longer new. How many times have we in our Christian life saw people claim to get in, make a profession that they're in, all been out of shape with emotions and excitement about being in, but it don't last but a few days. Now whether they got saved or not, I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the judge, but I just know one thing. The devil, friend, wants you to get over being saved. He wants you to lose that newness and that freshness. You say, but preacher, you've been saved 31 years. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it's still good. Listen to me now. Things decay only in this world. Things rot in this world. Things go from new to old. New, fresh, to decay and rotten in this life. So if I try to live the spiritual life with the life of the flesh, the energy of the flesh, guess what? I'm going to get over it. It's going to become an old toy. It's just going to become an old thing, an old song, amen? But I want to tell you what's the truth, amen? Oh, yes, if I tap into His life and His world, which I have, and you have if you're saved, there's no decay up there. Read it. The Word of God shows us that. Amen? You've not read 1 Peter, was it 1 Peter? Is it 1 Peter 1? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance uncorruptible, amen, that fadeth, that's undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know why? The things of God don't get old. Woo! The songwriter had it right, Brother Krutschko, when he said we're headed to a land where we'll never grow old. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Never grow old. Decline and decay and a downward trend and a declining trend of your spiritual life is a result of you living after the flesh. You say amen, oh me, or burp. It don't make a difference. I'm preaching this morning. Amen. That's right. The reason people get over it, and there's several right here this morning in case y'all wondering who I'm preaching to. I'm not preaching to the Romans in Rome. I'm not preaching to the Egyptians in Egypt. I'm not preaching to the Jews in Jerusalem. I'm preaching to those sitting on RBT pews this morning. There's several of you that at one time was a whole lot more excited and enthused about being saved and serving God than you are right now. You might as well nod your head like that right there, amen. Because I know I'm a pastor, praise God, amen. I'm an overseer. I see over. It's my business to notice. And I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you, we've got several. You're not getting better. You're getting further away. Now, I'm just being truthful. You say, preach, I need exhorting. I need building up. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, the devil's after you. He's not just criticizing the sovereign. He's trying to consume the saint. The devil's the one that's putting that decay in your life. The devil's the one that's putting that decline in your life. The devil's the one that's doing that. And I hate him. I hate what he's doing to you. I want to hear your testimony again. I want to hear your song again. I want to see you in an altar again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I know, listen, I'm not stupid. Amen. Had a CT scan done in my head the other day and they said there ain't nothing there. I said, well, I've known that for 30 years. Amen. It's gray matter, mud. But I ain't stupid. I know this to be a fact, buddy. When you start declining in your spiritual life, you will start picking up and doing what you used to do.
Yeah,
man.
That's right.
Amen. I guarantee you. I guarantee it. That's right, friend. You sitting here this morning, you have lost spiritual ground. You know it. I know it. Your family knows it. The Holy Ghost knows it. Your friends knows it. And I guarantee you're done picking up things that you stood up and confessed that you've laid aside. Hello, amen. Yeah. Preacher, you getting a little too excited? No. I'm just getting warmed up. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. And the sad part of that is if you continue, listen, a thing that decays, a thing that rots, a thing, my friend, that's wore out and getting older and older and older, it doesn't go to a point and stop. It doesn't go to that in that process to a point and then quits and don't get any worse. No, it continues. Your life will do that. As you yield to the flesh and live after the flesh and live for the flesh, your spiritual life will continue to rot. Your spiritual life and spiritual influence will continue to go down the tubes. Amen. Your spiritual life is not a toy that you pull out every once in a while and play with. And then when you're tired of it, you stick it back in a box and close it up in the closet. No, my friend, when you get saved, you give your life to Christ. He becomes your life. It's greatly disrespectful to such a worthy Lord for you to treat Him like an alley cat that only you throw some scraps to. Amen. Well, we could preach on that some more, amen. In fact, I'll tell you what the Lord give to me about that. A lot of people that starts out on a big blaze but fizzles out quickly, you know what they remind me of? Matthew 13, they remind me of the stony ground hearers and the thorny ground hearers. As a sower went forth to sow, the seed's the word of God, the field's the world. As the sower went forth to sow, some of the seed fell by the wayside, some fell upon a stony ground, and then some fell among thorns, and then of course the fourth one was some fell on good ground. Only one of those four hearers was saved. There wasn't nothing wrong with the seed. Nothing wrong with the seed. The seed's the word of God. Amen. You say, well, then what happened? It was the soul, which is the individual sinner, the individual listener, the individual hearer. And here's what the Bible says. Listen to it. See if this doesn't explain what most people are. In Matthew 13, in verse 5 and 6. And some fell on stony places. Talking about some of the seed fell on stony places. When that which had not much earth, forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. You say, well, what's the application? Well, it's given to us right here in the Scripture. It's given to it right here in the scripture, verse number 20. And he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Did you hear that? Receive the word of God and got some joy about it. Woo! Testify, shout, whatever, amen. With joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation, persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by, he is offended. What about the thorny ground here? And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. What's the application there? He that also receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Is that you? Which one of them hearers are you? Wayside here? Stony ground here? Thorny ground here? Or good ground here? The good ground here hears the word of God, receives it, and guess what? The Bible says he bears fruit. You know what the sure evidence of you being saved is? Fruit. Matthew 7:20, wherefore by their fruit ye shall know them. Hear the preacher, hear me well. If I never say it again in this world, listen, you cannot be saved and there not be evidence of it. And having a heart for this world is not evidence of it. Feeding on your diet and your food that you feed on. I'm not talking about going and eating at Burger King or whatever. I'm talking about the things that you feed on with your desires. Things that you're aspiring to have. I want to tell you, friend, listen, having a heart for this world is not an evidence that you're saved. Amen. You better check up, friend. I'm just telling you, better check up. There's a lot of people, I'm fearful. I'm really fearful. They're holding on to a profession of faith that never changed their life. And I've always said it, if it didn't change your life, it will not change your destiny. You can talk to me till you blue in the face, pass out, or die of old age that you're saved and living in sin, loving sin, doping it up, drinking it up, and fornicating and all of that goes with it and a bunch of other things. You are never going to convince me that you got anything. You said, preacher, that's telling it pretty straight, but I don't know how else to tell it. Hey, man, I'm not interested in sugarcoating it. There's probably a lot of churches around that if you want a lollipop sermon, hey man, you can go get one. But RBT's probably not going to be that place. Amen. Not as long as I'm here, as long as I'm breathing. Because I know what the Bible said. The Bible said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Yes, amen. I've got to preach the truth. You can't get set free if I don't preach the truth. You can't be helped if I don't preach the truth. Amen. You don't go to heaven because you think you're saved or others think you're saved. You go because it's a fact. You go into heaven because it's a fact that you're saved. Amen. Well, hope you do something with that. A lot of people starts out like a big sprint. They've got a big sprinting faith. You ever watch them athletes and them sprints? Son, they can get with it, can't they? I like to watch them. Man, I can't do it, but I like to watch them. I mean, them cats can get with it. I mean, even them hurdle jumpers. I mean, they can run 100 meters faster than I can run 20 yards, and they're jumping 4-foot fences in the way. Amen. Son, they can get with it. I mean, run 100 meters, 100 yards in, what, about 9 seconds or something? I like to watch them. I like to watch people that can do something well. I like to watch them. I'm amazed if they do it and do it good. I like to watch them. Especially if they're doing it for me. I like to watch them. Hey, man. Hey, man. But a lot of people, Brother Tim, are like that. They claim to get saved. They make a move toward God. And they're just like one of them. They're just like one. Hey, man, if I wasn't in bad shape, I'd demonstrate. I mean, they get down, man. I mean, they get down. They put them feet in them, I guess it's stirrups or whatever. They put them things on them blocks. And I mean, buddy, they got their fingers right there on the line. And I mean, they come out of the gate. Whoa! And I mean, buddy, they're getting it with it. And I mean, they're a blur. But it's over about as quick as it started. Man, watch them. Whoa, you should have seen them at our church. Man, they went to the altar. They done this. They done that. Whoa, look at them. They're wide open. I'm not interested in what you're going to be doing 10 seconds from now. I want to know what you're doing 10 months from now and 10 years from now. Hey, man, I'm sick of it, and I know you are. You got to be. If you're like me, I'm sick of it. People claim to get saved, and there's no evidence of it. Don't last 30 days. I'm sick of that mess. That's not Bible. Something's wrong with that. And I know what's wrong with that is not on God's part. I do know that. I still have confidence that God can save somebody. And I told somebody the other day, Brother Jeter, I said, I'd like to see somebody get saved. I mean, sure enough. Get saved and live for God. I'd just like to see that. I'm so sick of fizzles that fizzled out, mess up and down, in and out, on and off, got to be pushed, primed, pulled, offered to threaten and pay to live for God. I didn't get that, Brother Mark. Ain't nobody had to pump on me and offer to pay me and threaten me. Hey, man. No, when I got saved, Brother McCarrick, I hit the ground running, praise God. You're never going to get nowhere if you don't move. You got to get going. You got to get with it. Make you some, if you'll get saved and start making some good sanctifying choices, you'll grow faster than you can keep up with. But you cannot make a profession of faith and hang on to that old life and expect to do anything or to be anything. If you'll turn loose of that old life that's anchoring you down, that's holding you back, amen, and go with God. I don't understand it. You can tell I'm about nearly vexed. It's a wonder my heart ain't exploded. I've been vexed. The only thing that salvages me, Brother Mark, is that I know what God done for me. I look at people and I watch them wobble on the shaft and flip-flop around and fall in and out and on and off and up and down and all this stuff. I tell you, I can't handle much of that. But what keeps me going, amen, is I know, thank God, what He did for me changed my life. And I still have confidence in God saving old sinners. Amen. A lot of people just really don't want to get saved. It's a problem. They want to get saved enough to get that guilt off of them. They want to get saved enough to get that conviction off of them. They want to get saved enough, amen, to get that, some kind of hope of going to heaven and not hell, but they don't want to get saved enough that it produces sanctification in their life. Hello. And I'm not tooting my horn. I'm not big enough to toot. Don't have a horn to toot. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach it till my last breath leaves my body. Amen. You cannot gum around with God and make it. And I'm not saying by that statement that you get to heaven by how you do and how you live. But I want to tell you, buddy, salvation produces a life. Your physical birth produced a life and you've been living it ever since. Come on now. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Randy. There's not a person in here that's living a life contrary to that life your birth gave you. Am I not telling it right? Am I still in the ballpark? Ever since that birth put that life in you, you've lived it. You've not had to get up one morning and say, you know what? I've had a physical birth. I've got physical life. I better live a physical life today. No. That life that the birth gave you, you live it. And when you are born again, if God gives you His life, amen, hello. Hey, let me help you with something. Don't you dare hang on to an eternal life statement when you don't even have enough to live it here. How you gonna have eternal life in heaven when you don't even live nothing now? Say amen right there. Woo! Preacher, you must be sick. You preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to see the doctor tomorrow, but I'm nailing it tight right now. Amen. That's right. Amen. I want to see somebody get really saved. I mean really saved. Well, there's people here lost in this building. I don't want to give them no false hope. Amen. I'm not going to give them no false hope. Amen. And I do want them to know that this half-hearted, amen, lifestyle that a lot of church folk are living, that is not the will of God. God is not in a million miles of it. And most of them probably wouldn't know God if He walked in the back door. Say amen right there. Some of you can't handle much, can you? But I'm going to preach it. I've not preached anything this morning that's not in that book. I'm just fearful that we've got a lot of people, and I've prayed for several by name, and I won't admit to you, if you ask me, preacher, am I one of them? I'd never tell you. But as sure as I'm standing here, I know I've got some people in this church that's lost. Amen? Are you listening? And you know what's bad about that? I can't do nothing about it other than pray and preach to you. You're going to have to get real with yourself. I was talking to Brother Williamson on the phone this week, and he told me about a young boy who got saved the other night at 2 o'clock in the morning at his house. And I told Brother Williamson, I know the boy. I said, Brother Williamson, I've known the whole time that boy's lost. I said, there ain't no way that boy's been saved. But he'll tell you he's saved, fornicating, everything else in the book. God woke him up in the middle of the night the other night and told him, said, you ain't got nothing, you're lost, and you're going to hell. He got out beside his bed and got saved, called his preacher, and said, I just got saved. Hey, man, if some of you would listen real good, I believe the Holy Ghost would probably whisper something like this. You don't have nothing. That's nailing it pretty tight, ain't it? But if you slip off of a church pew and die and go to hell, I must not have nailed it tight enough. You know what the old timer said? I was trying to think. Jonathan Edwards, I believe, said this statement. I know the statement is accurate. I've quoted it so many times. I'm thinking Jonathan Edwards said it. Said this: holy practice is the proper evidence of saving faith. If your salvation did not make you holy, it will not take you to heaven. For without holiness, no man shall see God. Amen? Better do some examination of your salvation. Better examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Well, hallelujah anyhow. If you swallow real good, it'll go down. But the devil's plot is to wear out God's people. I don't know how I got on all that. But the devil's desire is to wear out and wear down, I do know, that decaying part, that declining part. That's not in the spirit, that's in the flesh, buddy. Amen. That's right. Amen. Will y'all help me? Will y'all bear with me? I've got to preach this morning. My wife told me, don't preach. Doctor said, don't preach. I'm telling you, God put this message on me. And I said, amen. I was out praying last night. I said, God, if it's my last message, I got to preach it. This ain't a game to me. This is not a game to me. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not a paycheck to me. This is a calling of God on my life. And if I die before I leave this building today, I will know that I have told you the truth. Amen. Amen. The Bible, you know, listen. Romans chapter 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Did you know that word confess and believe? Believe in the heart, confession of the mouth. Did you know both of them, both of those words is in that continual tense, that progressive tense. In other words, you confess and you keep on confessing. You believe and you keep on believing. Why is it that when people get saved, they tell it one time and you never hear nothing else about it again? That is not what that Bible teaches. Tell it. You say, but preacher, they've done heard it. I want to hear it again. I've heard some of you tell your salvation experience so much I can tell it for you. I can tell the details of it myself. But some of you I hadn't heard but one time and I couldn't hardly tell you nothing about it. Because I only heard it once. I'd like to hear it again though. Well, let me finish with this. The third thing that's said in our verse. Whoa, glory to God, amen. The third thing said in our verse is not only will he speak against the words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, but watch this third thing. He will think to change the times and laws that shall be given in his hand until the time and times dividing of the time. The first thing is, he said he would criticize the sovereign, or that's just the way I outlined it, criticize the sovereign. The second is, he will consume the saint. And the third thing is, he will change the structure. And if you don't see that going on now, you're blind. The changing of the laws. You know, the greatest document nationally that's ever been written is the Constitution of the United States. And don't you be a bit surprised that in the very near future that doesn't get changed. Our country, in fact, is the only nation on planet Earth that still has its founding Constitution. All the rest of them have rewrote theirs and changed them and altered them to where there's no resemblance to the original. And the course and direction of our country, that will come up. You wait and see. Amen. Well, a good classic example of that is found right in our book of Daniel. And I'm just going to reference them and you can study when you go home. You have two examples of that. Our text talks about what he's going to do in the future. But I'm preaching what he's doing now. And we have an example. One, Daniel chapter 3, you have the three Hebrew children. Devoted to God, served God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Prospering, Lord was blessing them. You know what they said? We're going to have to create a law that'll get them in trouble. And they conjured up laws and changed laws that would feed an anti-Christian agenda that stated, anybody that don't bow to this image when the music's played will be thrown in the fiery furnace. They knew that would get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew it. They made laws on purpose to get them. You can study that out. Another one, chapter 6, Daniel. was prospering. Daniel was being promoted. Daniel was a great man of God because of his prayer life. And guess what? They said, we need to change some laws. Whoever prays to any other image, you know the story. They're going to be thrown in the lion's den. And guess what they caught Daniel doing? Praying as before. And guess where Daniel went? Lion's den. Guess who was in the lion's den with him? Guess who was in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrews? Hallelujah. Don't be a bit surprised. I'm talking about the plot of the enemy. He was going to criticize, speak against the sovereign, consume the saint, and wear out the saint, and then he's going to try to change the laws, and it's happening as we speak. Trying to change the laws, bring in alterations, trying to bring in changes. Amen? That will try to get you to change. That's what the devil wants to do. But I believe the main part of the message was that second point. God really seemed like God has zeroed in on that. Are you saved today? Do you know that you're saved? Does your life confirm it? Is there fruit in your life that says so? If not, you better check up, friend. Listen, you don't have to give no accountability to me. I am not your Savior. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the judge. I am not. I know what this Bible says, and I'm to preach it. But you need to check up to see if you're saved.